Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Ki Tisa, Amazing Jewelry. If we look in Parshat Ki Tisa, chapter 33, verse 3, he says that, verse 4, the people heard this terrible thing and they mourned, and they did not put their adornment on. Hashem says to Moshe, speak to the Jewish people, you are stiff-necked, one minute I'll come to you and I'll destroy you. So now, remove your adornment from you, your adornment from you, and we'll see what we're going to do for you. So the Jewish people took off their adornments from Mount Horeb, from Har Sinai, from Mount Sinai. Adornments? What are they talking about? What's going on here? Well, Ibn Ezra says we had splendid clothing. At Mount Sinai, we were dressed in our greatest finery. You don't come to Mount Sinai wearing jeans. You come to Mount Sinai dressed properly to receive the Torah. So we had to take it off. This is not a time for that. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor says, it's a sign of mourning. Mourning for what? For your sins. The sin of the golden calf. We stood at Mount Sinai. Now, he said, take off your jewelry. You take off your jewelry. It's a matter of showing a type of mourning. For instance, we take off our tefillin. When, God forbid, one loses a parent, loses a close relative, you don't wear tefillin the first day. The day of the funeral, both before and after the funeral, tefillin are not worn until after sunrise the next morning. So that's also an adornment. And we learned it from Chezkel, who was told not to take off his pe'er, his adornment. And he was unusual, but generally we take off our adornment if there's mourning. So it's a sign of mourning. Rabbi Elazar ben Avraham ben Rambam, the Rambam's son, has an interesting theory. He says, no, you know, the Jews were going to Israel from Mount Sinai. They were going to go to Israel. So they had all their armaments. So they took their armaments off because they're not going to Israel now. So you don't know what's going to happen. Things are changing. Rashi most famously says that these are adornments. They're sort of spiritual adornments. We said, nah, seven ishma. We'll do the Torah and then we'll find out what it's all about later. We'll ask questions later. Act first. Ask later. So this was an amazing thing we did. So to accept the Torah without knowing all the details. So that gave us two crowns, the crown of doing and the crown of listening. And we had to take those crowns off. That great achievement we had at Mount Sinai of realizing that we're servants of God. First and foremost, we do. But we don't stop there. Then we ask. You're allowed to ask. You're supposed to ask. You're supposed to learn and engage and become knowledgeable. But then you do that second. This amazing feat they did at Mount Sinai, it was lost. We had to start all over again. We had lost that special idea. The Ksava Kabbalah of Rabbi Mecklenburg from Germany, 19th century, he says that this represents the analytical side of Judaism, where you study, and the active side of Judaism, where Yuni versus Maasi, the actual doing of Judaism. Torah, Vamitzvah, the Torah, the learning, and Vamitzvah, and the doing. So both the Torah and the mitzvah, we lost it. We got in the Torah, lost the Torah. Tablets were broken. We had observed the Torah. We said we had observed the Torah. Now we didn't observe the Torah. So we lost both these elements of being people of knowledge of Torah and people of doing the Torah. Of course, two elements of Judaism. One is to be knowledgeable about Torah and one is to practice the Torah. When we say this Torah, the world stands on the pillars of Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim, one of the Torah's pillars of the world is Torah. We mean both to act on the Torah and to learn the Torah. They had failed on both fronts. They failed to learn the Torah and they failed to do the Torah. So they had to remove that. There's a medrash that says that they had a special weapon they were going to use against the enemies as they came to conquer the land of Israel. The weapon was a mystical one that it had the name, the spiritual special name of God, Shem HaMefurash, the ineffable name of God on it, and that would be the weapon that would scatter the enemies, a bloodless war. And that was the weapon that they lost at this time. The Ksav HaKabbalah, Rabbi Mecklenburg says, I'll tell you what it's really all about. Because it's hard to understand what is this adornment. So he says that there's a Zohar that says that God has his tefillin. His tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. The hand tefillin and the head tefillin. The hand tefillin represents action. Head tefillin represents all the ideas of Torah. The idea here is that when we stood on Mount Sinai, we were so beautiful. We had the most beautiful jewelry you could possibly imagine. It was so amazing to be people of Torah, people committed to hearing the word of Torah and to doing the Torah. This gives us an aura. This gives us a tremendous power we can't even imagine. The Talmud says that when a Jew is wearing tefillin, meaning when a Jew is acting and thinking like he should, then all the nations of the world will see you and they'll be in awe of you. A Jew should radiate with Torah and mitzvot like the first Adam when he was first born. But somehow we lose that aura, we lose that special sense. Matovu Alech Yaakov, the beauty of the Jewish people, the beautiful adornment at Mount Sinai with the sin of the golden calf and the sin of, as Rabbi Bleich says, the Bleich says that the sin of golden silence that we didn't say anything about other people worshipping the idol. We lost our sense of Torah and mitzvah. When you have Torah, you have mitzvah, it's a beautiful thing. Who says that? Where does that idea come from? It's in Mishlei, right there at the beginning. It says, listen to the teachings of your father and your mother. Because indeed, he says, for they are an adornment of grace for your head and a chain for your neck. You have people have a necklace, makes the neck look beautiful. The Torah, when we're able to speak it, it's a beautiful adornment for our neck to speak the words of Torah. And it's a word of grace for your head, for your mind, for your thoughts. And when we have the tefillin and that adornment, it adorns the concept of the arm, the doing, the action, and it adorns our minds to the Torah and the Torah learning. Torah is our most beautiful jewelry. You say, you know, what's a beautiful person? What's an ugly person? It's not the shape of their nose or their ears. The beautiful person, someone who radiates with the ideas of God, who is driven to share the words of God, who is driven to do and act on the words of God. This could give us this tremendous radiance. If we don't have that radiance, it's because we're not learning enough, we're not doing enough. Occasionally you meet someone who has this special radiance, this special hadras panim, this special beauty of the face. And you say, this person, Ashreyu Ladto, happy is the person who gave birth to this person. This person is radiating with Torah, he's glowing with Torah, he's on fire with Torah. That's what the Jews had to remove at Mount Sinai. When we study, when we learn, when we do the right thing, there's a certain aura that we can have. It's the most beautiful jewelry. When we go off in the wrong direction, somehow lose our aura. Our job is to get back to Mount Sinai and get that beautiful, the adi, the beautiful adornments from Sinai. Because as Mishlei says, because it's a livyat chen l'roshecha, it's an adornment of grace for your head, v'anakim l'gagrotecha, and it's like a beautiful necklace around your neck. We thank you for joining us here at the Baron Hirsch Congregation for a discussion of Parsha and all the different holidays. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.